visits his latest creation in Fort Worth. Renzo Piano dropped by the Kimball Museum to see its new addition, the Piano Pavilion. KERA's Bill Zeeble has the story.
Sitting exactly 65 yards from the Kimball Museum across a vast elm tree-dotted lawn is the new, sleekly sharp-edged concrete, glass, and wood Piano Pavilion. Piano said the distance between buildings is key, so they can talk to each other, have a dialogue.
Because when you have a dialogue, if you talk too close to somebody, it's aggressive. When you get too close, when you stay too far, it's too cold. So you have to establish the right distance. So we have measured this many times.
Piano said the 4 acres of grass between the buildings leaves a space for people to play or to picnic and enjoy the urban space as he did by happily tossing a frisbee. Piano said that space also reintroduces people to the grandeur of the Kimball Museum's front entrance. For decades, he said most people have entered architect Louis Kahn's masterpiece from the back. Looking across the lawn from his pavilion, Piano says people will now see the Kimball's front entrance anew, with its barrel vault design that makes the Kimball among his favorites in the world.
This is a great building, it's a great scale, unpretentious, beautiful, poetic, magic.
And therefore, Piano said, deserving only complete respect. But he also said that created a trap that could be a tragedy. Some would see his pavilion competing with the Kahn.
From one point of view, you respect what is there, and that's what you have to do. You need to be yourself in some way. So you have the first thing to do is not to be pretentious, it's just to keep quiet and tell another story. Architecture tells story.
Piano says his building is more extroverted than Kahn's. There's more glass to look out, with more light to display art, an auditorium to entertain, and more rooms for classes and meetings. The Kimball's director, Eric Lee, likes that analogy.
I think that notion of introverted versus extroverted is absolutely correct. When you're in the Piano building, you have so many views that look out onto the Kahn building or across the street to Will Rogers. In the Kahn building, the views are all inward-looking. You're looking at interior courtyards.
Now, says Lee, the public will have both, with more of the Kimball's permanent collection on display in a better choice of spaces thanks to the new pavilion. It opens to the public Wednesday, November 27th. Bill Zeeble, KERA News.
Art and Seek's Jerome Weeks will join Renzo Piano on stage at the Will Rogers Memorial Center tonight at 7 o'clock for a conversation about the architect's work. Now to our series of recollections, JFK Voices. In the fall of 1963, Howard Weiner was 12, a crossing guard for his 7th grade class. His dad wanted him to stay in school November 22nd, but his mom picked him up and took him to Love Field to greet the Kennedys.
I'm Howard Weiner, and I'm from Dallas. I knew the president was coming to Dallas, and I was privileged to be at that fence and shake the president's hand. Just seeing him for real and seeing his smile and his demeanor was just totally incredible. We left Love Field and went down the street and had lunch at Prince of Hamburgers. And while we were there, a woman in the car next to us seemed to be acting just totally weird. We finally got the windows down to see what her problem was, and she had informed us that the president had been shot. By the time I arrived back at school, we had heard that the president had died. I was taken back to school because didn't know anything else to do. I did tell the principal that I was going back out to lower the flag to half staff.
You can hear more JFK Voices at keranews.org. Share your story by email jfk@kera.org or tweet with the hashtag JFK Voices. We'll also cover Friday's Dallas commemoration live from 11 to 1 on KERA-FM. The JFK anniversary has spurred a publishing blitz, but there's another reason aspiring authors are writing like mad this November. NaNoWriMo may sound like a disease or maybe a biotech startup, but it's actually the nickname adopted by National Novel Writing Month. Reporter Dwali Saikautau catches up with a few North Texans who are among the 300,000 people nationwide trying to write a novel in November.
Arlington resident Stevie Solis is creating a world filled with magic, demonic spirits, dragons, and mermaids. At least that's the case in her new NaNoWriMo novel. But she's having a little trouble meeting her goal, 2,000 words a day.
No, my characters need to do this, and they're, you know, 100 miles in the other direction, doing everything but the thing I need them to do. And it's just like,
NaNoWriMo participants win when they reach a goal of 50,000 words before November 30th. But it's really not about winning. If writers hit the word count, they get an online badge and a few sponsor perks. Mostly, it's about being part of a community of writers. And with only a week and a half left, Solis and 10,000 other Texas writers are feeling the deadline pressure.
By now, I'm more like, oh God, why did I do this? This is killing my brain, but it's a lot of fun and it's well worth it.
She even bought toy typewriters for her girls so they can sit next to mommy and pretend to work too. And when there's writer's block...
My daughter's favorite thing is dragon helps. And she brings me her little toy dragon and we sit him up on top of my desk and he sits there and he helps me write my story.
My name is Edmund Tamaklo and I'm a self-published author.
His novel, Long Live Argalon, was published on Amazon after he started writing it during last November's NaNoWriMo. Now he's working on a new novel called Rebel, about an orphan boy born in Ghana but raised in Liberia, where a civil war tears him and his friends apart.
So the novel has two parts, the first part being the victim of war part, which is largely my story, and then a second part, which is largely fictionalized, which is about child soldiers.
Tama Klo, who works as a librarian at TCU, says he wants to finish this book because he doesn't want his past to become someone else's future. And,
you know, I've always wanted to put it out there just so people can know where I'm coming from and why I am who I am today.
Fill a hole that no one else can fill, says Mary Hollingsworth, author of more than 100 Christian books. As managing editor of Creative Enterprises Studio in Bedford, she also helps new writers with their online platforms.
How many Facebook friends do you have? How many connections do you have on Twitter and LinkedIn and Pinterest? How well connected are you? And as a result, how many books can you help the publisher sell?
Patty Chang Anker finished her first book, Some Nerve, Lessons Learned While Becoming Brave. One of her fears, writing.
The fear is where the excitement is. It's like the fear of the unknown is where creation happens. The next step could be a step off the precipice, but that's exactly where you need to be.
Trust in your voice, she says. Only then will your story shine through. For KERA News, I'm Dwahli Saikautau.
Get ready for what's been dubbed the Comet of 2013. It's called Ison, and Astronomy Magazine editor David Eicher visited Think today and talked with Chris Boyd.
What makes a comet a great comet?
Well, a number of things, but the most important of them is passing really, really close to the sun. This one is going to be on Thanksgiving Day at about 1.8 million kilometers from the sun. The closer the comet gets to the sun, the brighter it gets, generally speaking. Of course, how close it comes to Earth is also a factor, and a number of other things, too.
You can hear the entire conversation on Think Tonight at 10 or find our podcast at kera.org. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm BJ Austin.